Thank you, Shad. Thank you, Brittany. Wow, what do you guys think, huh? Pretty good? Well, I just have to brag a little bit. That's Joyce White and Rob. Remember, they were here with us when we first started the ministry. That's her daughter, Brittany. And Brittany grew up in the church. How old was she when she started coming? 5 or 6 years of age is when she first started coming. And Shad was an intern in music ministry, what, 15 years ago? I don't know, at least. He got his internship start with one of our music ministers back then. And now he's just doing great. Do they have any albums with them tonight? They probably didn't bring any of that. Yeah, he's made a number of worship albums, and I'm sure some of you would probably have interest in that. But maybe another time. Okay, I just kind of grabbed them on the run. I noticed they were here, and I said, what are you guys doing Wednesday? Come on out to church, you know, and minister. And they were gracious enough to do it. They're on vacation. So anyway, hey, let's get to our Bibles, all right? Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. I hope you're ready for this. You know, when I was getting my credentials, I was with a particular denomination. And when I was getting my license to preach, you had to go through an interview process. It was quite lengthy, and felt like I was, the little black or little white light with the little black cigars and the smoke blowing in my face and asking me all these questions. And it was about 2 hours of interrogations. They were asking me theological questions, doctrinal issues, and I felt like I was doing pretty good, you know. And then they asked me this question. They said, "Now tell us, Reverend, at the white throne judgment, are you going to be there?" And I said, you know, at this point, after 2 hours of questioning, I really don't have any idea. So I remember, every time I go to study the white throne judgment, I think, I remember that I didn't even know whether I was going to be there. Now, you don't have to be honest with me, but is there anybody else in here that's really not sure if we're there in the white throne judgment or we're not there? How many are not sure? You're not really sure? Okay, there's one other honest person besides myself. Well, let's read it. Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15. "I saw a great white throne him who sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead." I saw the dead. "Small and great, standing before God, and books," everybody know that, underline that, plural, "were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." Now you got to think about this with me tonight. People could say, "I don't believe in God. I don't care about this Christianity stuff. I'm an atheist." It doesn't matter whether you believe in God or not. Books are recording our lives. You can say, "Well, I don't believe in that." Doesn't matter. Your belief does not empower God's record-keeping books. Watch this, because this is very interesting tonight. "The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now there's a whole lot being said in these particular verses. But this judgment is for the wicked dead. The righteous will not be there. Hallelujah. Okay? So it is for the wicked dead. Any person who has ever lived and died without Christ will be resurrected after the 1,000-year reign and will stand before God at this judgment throne. All right? So the scripture confronts us, and this really is a sobering truth. I don't know about you, but this is an ultimate encounter with God. People can deny him all their life, curse him on their deathbed, but yet will stand before him at the great white throne judgment. Here's an interesting quote. Daniel Webster, you may have heard of him before. He was asked this question. What is the greatest thought that has ever passed through your head? You know, he was a scholar, very intelligent man. This is how he replied. My accountability to God. You see, the great white throne judgment is accountability. Every man will give an account for their life. Revelation 20 and verse 5 said, the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. All the dead without Jesus Christ as their Savior. Revelation 20 and verse 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his work. So death and hell are only temporary places of dwelling. They're only holding tanks until the great white throne judgment. And we'll see in a minute that once they're judged, those that were judged and death and hell and Satan himself will be thrown into the eternal lake of fire. So there is an ultimate judgment even on death. An ultimate judgment even on hell. It's before the great white throne judgment. There will be a physical resurrection that will unite the dead. Now listen to this. Whether their ashes are in the grave, in a mausoleum, on the earth, or at sea, it doesn't matter. They will all stand before the great white throne of God. That to me is incredible. Now, think with me for a minute. Can God have recording devices to hear behind closed doors? Huh? Can God see with X-ray eyes like Superman the intents of the thoughts of the heart? You better believe he can. By the way, if you haven't yet listened to the John Melende video on our webpage, please do so. I think you'll be challenged because he was talking about the intents of the heart, the ways that we live, not necessarily the acts that we commit, but the ways that we live our life. So Revelation 20 and verse 12 says, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Now, some of these scriptures are either not in your outline or not on the slides. So you'll have to kind of write them down if you want them. Revelation 20 and verse 15. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, this is where it gets a bit complex, at least for me, and I have to really concentrate on it because the books, plural, speak of numbers of books that will be at this judgment. We know that the book of life will be there, but we also know there will be another book of life. It will be called the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb's book of life and the book of life are two different books. The book of life are those that are entered in that are living. That are born. Your name is written in the book of life. But the Lamb's book of life, our name is written in that when we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life because now you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. In verse 12 of Revelation 20, seeing the dead, the small and the great standing before God and the books opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, Revelation 20, 15. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. So the book of a person's works. This is real critical because there's a lot of Christians who believe that works don't matter. But they do matter. Works and faith cohabit together. Matter of fact, we understand the writings of showing faith by our works versus not having works. So the works of a person are recorded, and maybe, and I don't know this to be true, but many believe there are recording angels. Can you imagine scribes or angels that just walk around all day recording your stuff? When I think about that, I thought, now, do I have a personal angel writing down all my intents and thoughts and my works? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to sneak into heaven one day and steal those books and burn them. Well, I got good news for you. If it's under the blood, hallelujah, it's not going to be revealed, right? Because it's forgiven. But those that are not under the blood, it will be revealed. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14, we read this. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Whether good or evil. I want to put up on the slide a particular chart that helps us see the great white throne judgment and some of the inclusions. If you look with me, and some of that is a little difficult to see, I'm sorry that it doesn't come out very well, but I have the one here so I could explain it to us. On the far left side, we see the Book of Life. The Book of Life will be present at the great white throne judgment and will have bearing on the wicked dead that have been raised. But we also see on the right-hand side three other scrolls. The top scroll is the books of human works. We find that in Revelation 20, verses 12 to 13. All of your deeds, all of your actions, that which you've done unto others. Then we see in the middle the Lamb's Book of Life, which is Revelation 21, verse 27. Then we see another book. This is called the Book of the Law. That's Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. The Book of the Law has to be opened, and especially opened for those who are not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, because they are going to have to prove that they were able to keep the Book of the Law to pass judgment. But how many know that Galatians tells us that no man could keep the law? Not one man. Thank God for Jesus, right? So the Book of the Law will be present. On the far left side, we see former paradise, the great gulf between, and we see torment. That as well will have bearing on the great white throne judgment. The bottom being the lake of fire. There's also a prison of fallen angels that 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10, and Jude 6 and 7, that are also have bearing in this great white throne judgment. So the individual will stand before the throne of God. Of course, we're depicting that artistically. We don't know if that's what it's going to look like. That's pretty mild, I think, as far as I'm concerned. I can imagine, like Greg had mentioned Sunday, I don't know if it was here or out west, he said, I can't imagine what it's going to be like when we wake up in heaven before the throne of God. Will we be on our faces? Will we be shuddering and shimmering? Will we be crying out? Well, how will we respond to his glory when we really see his glory? You know, not just sing about it. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. So whether or not that's the actual throne depiction or not, I really don't know. But I do know that it's going to be an awesome, awesome moment. So the Book of Human Works is Revelation 20, verses 12 to 13. Let's talk about that for a minute. Keep that up, Matt, if you can. Let's keep the chart up. I think they can look in their Bibles or listen. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Books were open. Another book was open, which is the Book of Life. The dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one, according to his works. The Book of Life, the Book of Life, the Book of the Law, the Lamb's Book of Life. These are the four books that I want to just briefly touch on right now. In Revelation 21, 27, they said, thereby shall be no means enter it anything that defiles or causes abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, no man gets into heaven unless his name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is what propels us to win souls. This is what creates passion in us to share our faith with others. Because we know, according to Scripture, that if my mother, if my father, if my brother, my wife, my friend, if their name is not written down in the Lamb's book of life, they don't go to heaven. Their good cannot outweigh their bad. You don't enter in on merit. You don't enter in on Scripture knowledge. Position in the church. Come on, you all know that, right? It's whether or not your name has been written down in the Lamb's book of life. But in Galatians 3:10, I don't think I read that. That's the book of the law. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And no one was able to keep the book of the law. Not one man, not one woman. So they're under a curse because they could not keep it. That's why we were so condemned. We were already judged. Without Christ, there was no hope of salvation. Jesus came and fulfilled all righteousness. Hallelujah. And so if we're in Him, we have fulfilled all the law. How? Through being in Christ. So that's why you have to be in Christ. Now the Lamb's Book of Life are those in verse 8 of chapter 13. All who dwell on the earth will worship Him whose names have not been written in the Book of Life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Now, the Lamb's Book of Life will have those of record who I believe lived since the cross. Not prior to the cross. Since the cross. And the Lamb's Book of Life will have every name of every person who ever bent the knee and confessed with their mouth and believed in their heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Let me ask this. Is your name in that book? Hallelujah. Well, I know that. See, if your name is in that book, then you will not be at this great white throne judgment. You will be at the Bema judgment. That's for believers, and we talked about that numbers of weeks ago. We need to prepare for that. We need to get ready for that. But nonetheless, in Revelation 21:27, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. So, interestingly, when a person comes forward, he will be judged by the book of the law, by the Lamb's book of life, and the deeds done in the flesh taken from the books of human works. Those three books will be open. Now, if they fail in those books, if their name isn't written in the Lamb's book of life, if they didn't keep the book of the law, and if their works condemn them, guess what? Judgment. They will be cast into the eternal lake of fire. But before that happens, here's God's mercy. You know what He does? He checks one more time. He checks one more time. Just before the person is thrown into the lake of fire, there is a double check. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, if every person living is recorded in the book of life, then at the end of judgment, if their name is not in the Lamb's book of life, their name is not in the book of the law, I mean, their name, they didn't pass the book of the law, and their works condemn them, their deeds condemn them, the intents of their hearts condemn them, then if their name wasn't in the book of life, how did it, if it was recorded, how was it removed? If it wasn't found there, then they were judged, right? Isn't that what it says? So at some point, their name was blotted out of the book of life. And many have said, a Christian who is, I mean, genuinely saved, and you're going to probably have a little bit of, you know, like, you're probably going to look at me like, oh, okay. But I believe a person who is authentically, genuinely saved is saved eternally. Amen. I just do. Amen. I don't believe you could be like saved one day and then erased the next day because you sneezed wrong. I don't believe that's going to happen. However, I believe there are a lot of fake saved people. Okay, about half the church. Not tonight though, just Sunday morning. Sunday morning Christians. right? They're not here tonight. Okay, you all are here. So let's look at this for a minute. We'll go to Revelation chapter 3. Do you have your Bible there? Because I don't think they have this scripture. Revelation chapter 3, look at verse 5. Jesus is talking to the dead church. You remember which church that was? We talked about it. It's the Sardis church. He was saying that, I know your works, that you have a name, but that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Verse 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. So, if you are clothed in righteousness, how are we clothed in righteousness? Jesus Christ. It's Jesus and his righteousness. So, I am clothed in righteousness by my receiving Christ through faith. So, now that I'm clothed in righteousness, I was once dead, I'm now made alive. And because I am now clothed in righteousness, the scripture says, I will not be blotted out of the book of life. But if I'm not clothed in righteousness, if I don't receive Jesus as my Savior, if I continue in my wickedness, then what happens? Well, let's read the scripture. He says, I will not blot out his name before from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So the inference is that if you aren't clothed in righteousness, your name is blotted out of the book of life. So at the end, right before judgment, the Lamb's book of life judges you. The book of the law judges you. Your works, intents, and thoughts of the heart judges you. And now the book of life, you can't be found. Because you weren't clothed in righteousness. So they are cast into the eternal lake of fire. But it's like a double check. Go over to Exodus chapter 32 for just a second as well. Exodus 32. Let's look at verse 33, I believe it is. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now, there are three reasons why a person's name is blotted out of the book of life. Remember, we're not talking about the Lamb's book of life, right? Did you have that differentiation in your minds? Yeah? Everyone the living that ever lived is in the book of life. Yeah. The Lamb's book of life, however, for the redeemed since the cross. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for Jesus. I don't know about you, but, you know, when we get to worship him, he's my redeemer. He clothed me in righteousness, gave me an opportunity for eternal life. Are you kidding me? And I'm going to sit there with an attitude? Oh, excuse me while I get happy in Jesus. I was once a sinner. Now I'm saved. Hallelujah. I was blind, but now I see. I was lame. Now I walk. I got to worship him. I got to bless him. I'm happy. Man, this is like real stuff here. He goes, you're just like fanatical. No, I read the book. All right, so here we go. So Exodus 33. There are three reasons. Number one, why a person's name would be blotted out of the book of life. Number one, because of sin. Sin against God. Number two, for not being clothed in righteousness in Christ. And number three is taking the words of this prophecy and extracting them or changing them or redefining them. Those are the three reasons why people's names will be blotted out of the book of life. So this is a very serious prophecy. This is a end time prophecy, but not really. It is a lifetime prophecy. This is something that we need to teach our children. They need to understand this. We need to get understanding. And I'll have to be honest with you, I think most of us as Christians, we're not really like connected with this. We don't understand this. And it creates such a burden in our hearts for other people. It makes us want to serve homeless people. It makes us want to pray a half hour before service. It makes us want to go and serve somebody because I know eternity is in the balance. This is serious business. I can't allow those in my life to stand there without a witness of Christ. We must share Jesus. Uncompromisingly so, right? As a church? I mean, uncompromisingly so. Okay. So those are the three reasons. Your name is written in the book of life, but to keep it there, you must have your name written in the Lamb's book of life. John 6:35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Shall never thirst. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to him, you can put these scriptures up now if you like. Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father, what? Except by me. Jesus is the only way. Now, do you see what's happening in our world? We are watering down this truth. There are many ways to God. It is a lie from the pits of hell. There is only one way, and that's through Jesus. Man, I'm studying right now. Ooh, I'm going to be just can't hardly wait. I'm going to do a series on who is Jesus. Man, I found 103 names of Jesus in the Bible. I can't preach on all of them, but I'm going to try and hit 50 of them. We need to know who he is, right? He's the day spring. He's the author and the finisher. I mean, come on now. I can get started on that. We'll just be here. We'll be here for a while. But John 5:24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word believes in him who sent me has what? Everlasting life. And shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Death into life. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. To be born once is to die twice. The white throne judgment is the second death. The second death. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we have to understand every day, every second, every hour. I think it's something like 11,000 people a second or an hour. I can't remember my statistic. Die. Just unfathomable amount of people that are slipping into eternity all over the world. That's what we have to go and tell. That's why we have to win souls for Christ. I don't want blood on my hands. I want to be a church that's evangelistic. I want to be a people who are hungry for life in others. And celebration of others. Well, something happens right after this white throne judgment. Revelation 21, if you look at it with me, it introduces something. It's called a new heaven and a new earth. It's pretty incredible. Verse 1 says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. You know, I've read that. I think, God, what was wrong with the earth we've got? It's pretty cool. It's pretty majestic. What's wrong with the heavens that we've got? And you know, I believe the Holy Spirit would say this. Evil polluted this earth. Evil polluted the atmosphere. And God said, I don't want any of that remembrance. I'm going to create it all new again. Any place the devil had influence, new again. That's how he makes you and me when we become born again. Whew, new creatures in Christ. If any man be found in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are what? Passing away. All things are becoming new. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing. God loves to do new things. He loves to do new things in people, marriages, families, churches, worship teams, singers, preachers, children. He loves doing new things. And so we find out there are seven new things that he wants to do. Number one, he wants to bring in a new heaven. You know, ultimately, heaven will be on earth for the Christian. after the 1,000 years, heaven will come on earth. It'll be earth. It's going to be interesting, though. There will be no sea. Did you know that 2/3 of our planet is it's inhabitable? You can't inhabit it. It's water, mountains. But that's not going to be the new earth. There will be no sea. It'll be all place that you can be inhabited. Now, I don't know what exactly it's going to look like. I think in our minds, we have a vision that we're going to leave here and go up there somewhere. But if you read the scripture, the heaven comes down. And we'll talk about that maybe next week. I haven't decided whether I'm going to extend this series one more, but because I think 25 sermons on Revelation is enough. And a new earth, verse 1. And verse 2, a new Jerusalem. Look, it's wonderful to be in Jerusalem. But have you ever gone to Jerusalem? How many have ever been to Jerusalem? Let me see. Were you disappointed? It's not all that big. I mean, I'd rather go to Cincinnati. I mean, Jerusalem is like dusty, dirty, little streets. It's like, what? The only thing that's cool about it is like, oh, man, Jesus did this miracle here. Oh, wow, I'm standing right where he was. Oh, my, this is awesome. Oh, look at this. That's cool. But other than that, it's like, I mean, Valley View looks prettier. But he's going to give a new Jerusalem. And God's going to reign from Jerusalem. His throne will not be up in heaven in the third heaven. It'll be in Jerusalem. God will reign from there. Isn't that cool? You want to go to Jerusalem then? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Verse 5, he tells us that he's going to do new things. Behold, I make all things new. I make all things new. I love that. You know, there's a constant harassment by the enemy, isn't there, to remind us of our past, to bring us back to our failures. Did you ever notice that? How he always comes, regrets, condemnation. And we read in Romans 8:1, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. But we still have to fight that all the time. But God's going to do new things in us. When we have this new heavens and new earth, there will be no remembrance of the past. I mean, it's just going to be new every morning. New every moment. Every time you take a glance, newness. Just something you've not beheld before, not seen prior, new. Just, wow. I mean, we could keep walking around like, you know, the reveal on HGTV. Wow, oh my gosh. We'll be like that 24/7. We'll be walking around going, oh my gosh, did you see? What's up, God? You got the what? You're blowing my mind, God. Give me some. Give me some. Give me some. Ooh, that's good. We'll be like that all day long because it's going to be new. It's going to be so wonderful and so beautiful. Verse 1 to 5 in chapter 22, it's a new paradise. Verse 3 in chapter 22, it's a new place for God's throne. We've already mentioned that. Chapter 22 and verse 5, it's a new source of light. The earth and atmospheric heaven as we know it will both be destroyed. Any semblance of evil will be cleared away. Revelation 21:1, I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and earth had passed away, and also there was no more sea. So here's some of the major changes that are going to take place. Number one, no sea. 2/3 of the present earth's surface is covered with water. And remaining 1/3 includes a large area rendered worthless because of mountains and deserts. Thus, only really a small percentage of the earth's surface is inhabitable, when you think about it. So, that will not be the case in the new earth. It'll all be inhabitable. Number 2, the holy city will come down from heaven. Revelation 21 and verse 2. Then I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Number 3, God's tabernacle will no longer be in the third heaven. He'll reside in the holy city, Jerusalem. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Now, a lot of people ask me, okay, after the first 1,000 years, what are we going to be doing? You know, our finite minds, we can't wrap that our thoughts around that. I mean, I don't know what we're going to be doing. We're going to be beholding him. Can you ever behold him? I don't think so. But you know what? God has purposed to hold those things back. Our focus now is not what we are going to do then as much as what we ought to be doing now. Living right, loving everybody, praying hard, sharing our faith, being conformed to the image of Christ, taking this mission to a world. That's what he told us to do now. So we need to stay busy about our Father's works. Look at Revelation 21 and verse 4. He says this, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Wow. God's going to wipe away all the tears. God's going to wipe away all the sorrow, all the crying, all the pain. And then verse 4, all the death. There'll be no more death. I read a quote this past week. I think I'm going to use it in one of my messages, but I'm not sure. But it was by Tony Campolo, and something like this. I don't know if I have it right, but he said something about when you were born, you came in crying and everybody else was laughing. And when you die, we pray that you go out laughing while everybody else is crying. And the only way you go out laughing is if your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, happy day. That song just really winds my clock. No more death. The result of sin will be last, being removed. And since sin produces death and sickness, a sinless eternity will not admit these miseries into the presence of God. Revelation 21:5 says, he makes everything new. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And God will create a dimension that we cannot yet comprehend. An entirely new way of life. You can't even fathom it. You can't begin to think, "Oh, I wonder what it's going to be like." Oh, we can project. We can think that maybe it's going to be like this or that. No way. We can't comprehend it. It's going to be an entirely new way of life. And the Lord reiterates his offer. He reiterates his offer tonight, just like he did 2,000 years ago. Revelation 21:6, and he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega." There's one of the names of Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's the Alpha and the Omega. "The beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts." Did you notice the qualifications for receiving the water of life? You have to thirst. Do you thirst tonight? Do you thirst tonight? You see, I want to thirst, and I want God to quench the thirsting of my soul with the living water. With the living water. John 7, 37 and 38, Jesus said, "On the last day, the great day of the feast, he stood and he cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" And I guess the question tonight is, have you taken a drink from the fountain? I mean, a real drink. Revelation 2 and 8, "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, 'These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life.'" See, there's only two types of people on the earth, believers and unbelievers. "And he will receive you right now if you call on him. He will give you a drink right now if you thirst. He will invest in your spirit right now a river that will flow." Isn't that powerful? Man, God, you're going to give me a river? And it bubbles up in my soul. And you feel the glory of the Lord. It's almost hard to describe, isn't it? When you feel the flow of God inside, it's like just washing back and forth. It's bubbling up in your belly. You've been drinking at the fountain of living water. Church, that's all he asks of us tonight. And my prayer tonight for us as a church is that we would develop such a thirsting in our soul that we would not be satisfied with the menial things. We would never be satisfied with this world and what it has to offer. Come on, are you kidding me? We're going to really be satisfied with this world in comparison to an eternal God? Woo! Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. But let me warn you, you start drinking like this, you're finished. It's over. You know, they'll try to give you the watered down stuff, thinking it's the pure stuff. You'll put it in your mouth and you'll be like, not good enough. So you come to the fountain tonight and drink freely from Jesus. Every person in this room, my desire is that we would all go to heaven. That old songwriter said, when we all get to heaven, not just when the preacher gets to heaven, or when the deacons think they get to heaven. No, man, it's when we all, when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. We don't want one person in this room tonight not to go. I want you to go. You to go. And you too. All of us. Right? Just look over at somebody and say, all of us. Come on, grab their hand, say, all of us. Come on, stand up on your feet tonight. Let's worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's bless His holy name tonight. Come on, let's glorify God. Let's thank Him for who He is. Let's bless His holy name. Let's come to the fountain. Let's drink from His springs of living water. Let's bless Him and let's glorify His name. Let's thank Him tonight that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life and that there is a river flowing up in your belly tonight. And you know that God is real. You don't know about anything else, but you know He's real. My God is real. My God is real. My God is real. I know, I know, I know, I know, I know. I know He's real. I know He's real. He lives within my heart. He lives within my heart. Oh, thank You, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Come on, let's bless Him tonight. Come on, bless Him. Come on, hallelujah. Yeah.
Let the pain and the sorrow,
come on, Jesus, we glorify
be
You.
Be washed away.
Oh, yes, Lord, wash it away.
By His grace and His mercy.
Yeah, grace and mercy.
As the deep cries out to deep, we sing, come, Lord Jesus.
Come,
Lord Jesus, come.
put your hands up before the Lord tonight. We lay it down before you, Lord. We prostrate our hearts before you. We sing a song of praise. We sing hallelujah. Be lifted up, O God, in this place. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I need you. So come, oh Lord, and possess me. And fill me with your water. Living water, come now and quench my soul, Lord. I need you to come, Lord.
Come, Lord Jesus.
I need you real big, God. I need you real big right now. Sing, come, Lord
Jesus.
One last time, come, Lord Jesus. As you're worshiping there tonight, and we're standing in the presence of the living God, we have been so blessed to know the truth. The grace of God has come to our life, and for this, we owe Him everything. But just maybe you're standing here tonight apart from the grace of God. That if you were to die today, oh, you wouldn't know for sure that you'd go to heaven, but you want to know. And if that's your case tonight, you can know tonight before you leave, and we want to pray for you. So I'm going to ask my brothers and sisters who are believers tonight to begin praying quietly right where they're standing and asking the Holy Spirit to speak to the hearts of those who need Jesus in this room. So, Father, we pray right now, would you draw the hearts of those that might have been drifting, maybe those that don't know you. With our heads bowed and you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Because I know that I'm not really ready to receive Jesus. I mean, receive into heaven. I need to receive Jesus. I really want to, and I need this prayer. So right now, would you pray for me? If that's your desire, that's your request, then I just want you to hold your hand up for a second. Just hold it there for a minute and then put it back down all over this room. Anybody, any one person. I'm never going to assume that everybody is ready. I want you to make sure you're ready. Anybody, come on. Just slip it out. Okay. And I believe we're all believers tonight. So let's reaffirm our faith to our King. Just right there in your own way. Thank you, Lord, you've told me what I need to do. Thank you, Lord, I'm clothed in righteousness. Thank you, Lord, that I'm in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. Thank you, Lord, I'll never be judged by the book of the law. Thank you, Lord, that I will not have to, God, give an account to every thought and intent and deed, God, at that white throne judgment. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have spared me judgment. You've judged Christ. My sin was laid upon him, and now his righteousness is laid upon me. And I walk with you now, Father, from this day forward with a new fervor, with a new desire, with a new hunger, with a new resolve to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might, and with all my strength. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now just put your hand on somebody's shoulder and pray for them that they as well will have this resolve, that they as well will leave this room a changed person, that they tonight will walk away from here going, that's it, it's over, I'm living for God 100%. Nothing's going to hold me back. Nothing's going to change me. I'm going all the way with God. Bless them tonight, Father, I ask in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. All right, amen. You know, that's one of the names of Jesus, too. The amen. Yeah, you thought we thought of that. God thought of that. That's right. Amen. We're so thankful you're here tonight. You need prayer for any specific reason, a few of our elders and altar ministry team will be hanging out up here. We'd love to pray with you. But don't forget Sunday. Bring your family to church. Don't let them sleep in. Wake them up. You know what I used to do with my kids? They didn't like to get up in the morning. So I'd go get a cold wash rag, as cold as I could get it. And I'd walk in, I'd sneak in the room, and I'd shove that wash rag on their face and wipe their face. And they couldn't go back to sleep after that. I said, come on, get up. It's time for school or it's time for church. Dad, I hate when you do that. I said, just get dressed. I'll see you up at the house, up at the car. You got to do what you got to do, right? All right, give somebody a high five. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard. Thank you, Minister Shad and Brittany Metzner. You guys are awesome. Thank you.